Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We are continuing in Colossians chapter 3, and our focus this morning is on thanksgiving, understanding exactly what the Scripture teaches about thanksgiving. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, Paul is teaching us and those who have been born of the Spirit of Christ, those who have been saved, to put on the new life. In verses 5 through 11, he says, "Now that you have been made complete in Christ, put off the influences of the old life, the things of the flesh, and put on the influences of the new life." And if we understand it in that way, that though we are saved, we still have the influence of the flesh and its desires attempting to influence our lives and our decision-making. But now that we have the Spirit of Christ living within, the Holy Spirit is now also influencing us, but we're taught in Scripture we have been freed from the old life, the human nature that has the sin nature in it. We have been freed from that. That's what salvation is. And that we now belong to Christ. So in Romans chapter 6, Paul was very pointed in saying that now that you have been made free, make your decision to serve Christ. Submit the members of your body to Christ for service to Him. You are not slaves to sin anymore. You've been set free. So make the decision to surrender your life to Christ and service to Christ. Paul described this new life, first of all, by the command, this first of five commands in verse 12. "Therefore, put on as elect of God and holy who have been beloved, put on these five things," which, as we mentioned, are all produced by the Holy Spirit. These are not human characteristics. These are not produced by human effort. "Put on bowels of compassion," compassion that is genuine and from deep down within, not a surface human compassion. "Kindness," which is literally usefulness, usefulness in a spiritual way. Do things that are useful rather than not useful. "Humble-mindedness," a lowly frame of mind, describes the mind of the slave whose mind was set on the fact that he was a slave and that his duty in life was slavery and servitude to his master. "Meekness," which literally means openness or receptivity. Be open and receptive. And fifthly, long-suffering, slow in human reaction towards others. These are things, these are influences, these are produced by the Holy Spirit. He said these things will be evident in two things: holding up one another, that is, in support of one another, and forgiving yourselves if anybody has a complaint against you. So in order to be in a supportive role to people, in order to forgive people, we must have compassion. We must be useful. That would be the most useful thing in the situation. Humble-minded is that we are the servants of all. Open and receptive. and long-suffering, slow in human reaction. All of those things must be there in order to be in a supportive role and in order to forgive those if anybody should have a complaint against anyone. This is to be done according as Christ forgave you. In this way also you forgive. But he says in verse 14, over these things, because putting on something is a clothing term, to put on a coat. So we are to put on those five things as if they're pieces of clothing. We are to wear them. But there's also a piece of clothing in verse 14. And over all of these, put on agape love, which is the bond of completeness. Agape love is God, 1 John 4:8. Agape love is produced by the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Agape love should be the motive of all things that we do. Then we saw last week in verse 15, the second and third of the commands, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, into which you were called in one body. We saw that peace itself is not something that is tranquil in the human sense. In fact, the human flesh, we're always looking for emotional and psychological peace. But Jesus said that's not the peace that he gives. We saw from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, that peace is a person. He's the person of Christ. And that the word peace means to be at one with or united with someone. So to experience peace is to be one and to be at one or united with Christ himself as the anchor point of our life. And it says, let the peace of God rule. Again, we have many influences in our lives. And if you have received Christ, then we're called upon to let the influence make a decision for the peace of God to rule in our hearts rather than letting the other influences, the damaging, destructive influences, rule. But there's another command here at the end of verse 15 that's very important. It says, and become thankful. Most English text says, and be thankful. But the word become is very important as a literal translation. That's what the word means. Become thankful. To become thankful means that naturally we are not thankful. We must become thankful. Now, I've got to say something here right at the beginning. We talked about peace and letting peace be the influence that rules in your hearts. There are people who practice a mental or psychological practice of being at peace in their mind. It's called positive thinking. I'm going to practice with putting my mind to be at peace. That is psychology. That is not experiencing Jesus Christ. It is the same way with thankfulness. Many, many people practice the psychology of being thankful. For instance, somebody might say, well, I'm supposed to be thankful for this. So, Lord, I'm thankful. You know, they have to practice the formula of being thankful because we're told to do it, even though we're really not. This says become thankful. And hopefully this morning in our time in the Word that becoming thankful and expressing thanks to God will have a more clear, more exact, detailed meaning that we know of being thankful to be. It says, become thankful. It again, tells us it's not something that we are naturally. We're told in the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything, be continually giving thanks. In everything, be continually giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it's a command. that in every single thing we're to be giving thanks. And here's where the psychological practice comes in. Because I'm not that way naturally, some people try to practice it as psychology of saying, okay, in everything I'm supposed to give thanks. So Lord, I'm giving thanks. But down deep in the heart, thanks is not really being given. So the word for thanks in our particular text here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, to be thankful is an adjective. It's the only place where the adjective form is found in the New Testament, but its basic root is eucharistia. Eu is a prefix that means well or good, and charistos or charistias, you can hear the word grace in there, charis is the word grace, charistia means a response to grace. You put it together with the prefix eucharistia, and it means a good or well response to grace. That's what thankfulness is. It kind of puts it into perspective that true spiritual thankfulness, bowels of thankfulness, if you want to put it that way, because we're talking about a thankfulness that comes from deep down within, not something that comes from a practice of the mind. But a true thankfulness is a graceful, thankful response to God's grace. Now, here's the key to this. It doesn't say to be thankful for everything. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that I just read to you, it says, in everything, be continually having a favorable response to God's grace. Be continually in everything. The text isn't talking about being thankful for everything that comes along. It's having a favorable response to God's grace in everything. So the psychological practice to be thankful in everything is not what the Bible teaches. Because here's what the Bible teaches. That in every situation, God gives us His grace in order to survive, in order to make it through. And so true thankfulness is a response to God's grace. God's grace is sufficient for everything in every situation. My mind and my emotions and my human might be freaking out. But in reality, the Holy Spirit ministers to get my attention to say, my grace is sufficient for you. That's what God told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul prayed three times for a health problem that he would be healed. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Not sufficient to be healed, even though it is. God's message was, my grace is able to sustain you in everything. I don't need to heal you. And so Paul, then his whole approach to the hardships and sufferings of life changed. He stopped asking for deliverance and started saying that he rejoices now in persecutions and sufferings and hardships. He says, because when I am weak, then I am strong. It's God's grace in me that is my strength. Whereas our natural propensity is to pray to God for strength in the human realm. Give me peace in the human. When God's peace and grace is spiritual. He might not calm the flesh. He might not calm the human. Again, because our emotions and our minds, our psyches, are connected to the circumstances that we are in. So we're always looking for peace to either calm the storm that's making me upset, or if you're not going to calm the storm, Lord, then give my human, my flesh, peace. And his response, my grace is sufficient for you. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to know that naturally, which is why it's hard for us to be thankful. What am I thankful for? Well, I have to practice being thankful because God says I have to be thankful. So God, thank you for whatever I'm supposed to be thankful for, because this is a miserable situation. But I'm supposed to be thankful. No, it's a response to God's grace, not a response to the circumstances. It's important for us to see that. To be thankful is to have a favorable, thankful response to God's grace. And by doing that, I have accepted all things as being from God because His grace is sufficient. So I can become thankful by God's grace. Now, to be unthankful is really to be rejecting or not acknowledging the sufficiency of God's grace. I would choose to be not thankful because of my own human disposition, my own human feelings, and because things are not being worked out according to what I want. And so to not be thankful is really not to reject the circumstances, but to reject God's grace, to be sufficient for that. And therefore we become unthankful. What is interesting is that unthankfulness is an expression of those who reject Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, here's what Paul says. Romans 1, 18 to 21. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That is, the ones who are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. They know righteousness, they know the truth, but they're suppressing it and choose to reject it so that they can continue on in their unrighteousness. On account of that which may be known of God is manifest in them. One of the texts in the Bible that says that every single person has been illuminated by the Holy Spirit to know the truth. He says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it or revealed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived by the things that are made, that is, by creation. Even His eternal power and divinity, for them to be without excuse. Parallel to this is Psalm 19 that tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, that the language of the Creator and the expression of His divinity is ministered to all nations and all people through creation. It's not a matter of a human being coming up to another human being and sharing the Bible with them. Every person will stand before God without excuse. John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that Jesus Christ is illuminating, His light is illuminating every person coming into this world. And then John chapter 3, John describes the fact that with the light coming into the world, people are either attracted to the light or they reject the light. They want to get away from the light. There are no words spoken. It's just the light, the Spirit of Christ. People are either drawn to Him or they want to get away from Him. Without words. And Paul says that creation has expressed the eternal power and divinity of God so that people are without excuse. They can't stand before God and say, well, I never went to church and I never heard. God takes the responsibility to illuminate everybody's heart so that they respond in the way in which they are disposed for them to be without excuse. On account of that, after having known God, they glorified him not as God, neither became thankful, but became empty in their reasonings, and their heart that is without understanding was darkened. And the text goes on to say that God gave them over to the perversions of the flesh, to do with their body that which is that God did not intend them to use it for. Interesting. It is a judgment of God that God gives them over to the perversion that they choose after having been made, after having known God and about him, that is his eternal power and divinity. He turns them over to the very things that they wanted. But they became, neither did they become thankful. Not thankful to God's grace. God's grace through his provision, through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a rejection of the very favor and grace of God. Well, what is interesting in our lives and in our text as we have it, we are giving a response of thanksgiving to the provision of God's grace. That's what thankfulness is. It's not religious practice. It's not a psychological practice. It is not a human practice. It's a response. It's not originated from me. It is interesting in 1 John chapter 4, when John talked about love, agape love, which we've just studied, comes from God. God is a source, and God's Spirit is producing agape love because God is agape. It's not produced by human beings. It's produced through human beings by the Holy Spirit of God. But John says in 1 John chapter 4 is that we love him because he first loved us. Our love for him is a response to his love. The text is saying that God's love so influences me that it's that love that he has given to me that causes me to love him back. Agape love does not originate with me. My love for the Lord does not originate with me. He doesn't even give me in its limitations. He does not give me love for him. It is a response. It is his love that is causing me to love him. It is my response to his love. In the same way, thankfulness. Being thankful, becoming thankful. It's something that I'm not naturally in the human, but it is something that God's grace and Spirit ministers. And it is only when I understand that we're not talking about human thankfulness, psychological thankfulness in practice, or religious thankfulness, but rather it is a response to his grace. But of course, I can't express true thankfulness if I'm looking at the circumstances and telling myself, well, I've got to be thankful for these. Some circumstances are very terrible, very difficult. The Word of God is not calling us to be thankful for our circumstances, but by being thankful to God's grace, we are accepting circumstances as being from God. God has created these circumstances for me to experience his sufficient grace. That's what it's all about. In light of that, we can be thankful that God's given the sufficiency. Of course, the other side of the coin is that we can become unthankful and we can complain because of the circumstances God has created for us to experience His grace in. I don't want to go by your sufficiency. I want to focus on how difficult the circumstances are and how miserable I am. We have to accept that every circumstance is there and has been created, no matter how easy and how difficult the circumstance is for us to experience the sufficient grace of Christ Himself. As He takes us through it. And putting it in His words, He doesn't need to remove it. He's perfectly capable to sustain us in it and through us. Again, that's why 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says what it says. In everything, not for everything, but in everything, be continually responding to God's grace favorably. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So become thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And when you let that influence of Christ and His peace rule in your heart, you can be thankful because you're actually experiencing God's grace, His sufficiency, His provision. And that is the key of understanding Christian growth. Christian growth isn't about religiously or psychologically practicing the principles of the Bible. You know, there was an article in the Santa Maria Times yesterday by a local pastor, very respected in the community, known for his good works, provision for the homeless and for the poor, and for his work in the community, helping people in need. His message in the paper yesterday was about loving your neighbor. That's what it's all about. And he says, Jesus Christ left for us a model for us to copy. And we are to be like Him. No, He didn't. Jesus Christ is the one. He didn't leave us an example or a model that we in our human efforts should emulate. It's Christ in us. And it's this whole religious approach to Christianity where we try to discipline the human and train the human nature to practice the principles that God has given us to do in order to be better human beings. And to help other human beings be better human beings. Now, all that sounds nice. But that's not spiritual and that's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity says Christ is the one who gives the love and shows the love, and His love is what I respond to. That's why it says, love your neighbor as yourself. How are you responding to God's love? You yourself, that's how you will love your neighbor. How I respond, not to my circumstances, but how I respond to God's grace will be determinant whether I am thankful or not. So thankfulness is a favorable response to God's grace. That's what thankfulness is. So let the peace of God rule in your hearts and become something you're not. Thankful. Become responding favorably to God's grace. That's what it's saying. And a favorable response to God's grace is to express thankfulness. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace that is the sufficiency for all things. It's not that you give us the sufficiency, but you yourself are the sufficiency. That in the midst of the storm, you are our anchor. You are the one who pours out his mercy and grace upon us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is and gives us the sufficiency for all things. In that we are thankful when we experience the peace of Christ in the midst of the storm. And knowing that that peace is ministered to us by your grace and favor and mercy, it causes us to thank you. We pray that you would teach us to become thankful. We need to learn that we're not to be thankful. We're not commanded to be thankful for the circumstances, even though we can be thankful for them too, knowing that they have been designed by God. Designed by God to cause us to be in a position to put on the influence and surrender to the influence of God's grace and his sufficiency. And for that, we're thankful. Not from a human thankfulness, but just as a response. We're overwhelmed by the grace and provision of Christ. We pray by your Spirit you would teach us the proper perspective and understanding of life. It is not a religious practice or a psychological practice, but rather it is a response to the very source of grace himself, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in him we pray and give you thanks. Amen.